Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, I am Dr. Deborah, and sad to say, no Coach Kelly today. She'll be back with us next week, but she did have another unfortunate experience, and she had to fly back east to support one of her friends. Kelly is one of probably the best friends that any human being could ever have on the planet, because she is just so kind and so caring. But since we don't have her today, though, we do have two really exciting guests in studio with us, but they are pointing at each other, but I'm going to make them be silent for another minute or two. I don't know why, but it just feels like the right thing to do. So I'll hog the microphone for a moment, because I do want to make sure that you know that today is so special that if there's any day that you're going to get over your shyness and call into the show, it's going to be today, okay? So take down this phone number, 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. And I will be giving out that number a couple of times or several times today, because I definitely want those calls if possible. Okay, well, so last week's show, we did the Hodgepodge Hour, which was really fun. We talked about all kinds of crazy things, like what you worrying about your taxes, relationships, coping with getting older, and more. And it was a lot of fun, and thank you so much for your emails and for your calls. We always appreciate that. So without further ado, today in studio, we have two very special guests. There is a movie called Waking, which was out in 2013. And today we have the lead actor slash writer with us. His name is Skyler. And we also have the director named Ben. Now, we're going to not call the lead actor in the movie is his actual name, which was Ben, there, because it will confuse everybody. So today we're going to refer to them as Skyler and Ben. Welcome in studio, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, absolutely. It's great to be here.
Yeah.
And it's great to be known as Ben and you being Skyler.
Yes, it was a strange thing that happened with the script. I wrote it with...
It was your fault.
Well, it was. I wrote it with a character named Ben, and then we hired a Ben.
And then you should have changed the name.
I feel like I pitched changing the name, and you were like, no, it's perfect. It just happens to be my name.
No, I think I told you to change it.
Did you?
Yeah, but you were... At that point, you just loved me so much.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about the movie so we can get our listeners up to speed in case they haven't seen it. I, by the way, had the pleasure of watching it last night, and I loved it, and it's going to be such a great topic today.
I like the short way of describing it, which is it's a love triangle where a man has to decide between the woman that's perfect on paper and the woman of his dreams, his literal dreams. And just that idea that someone that's perfect on paper is someone that, you know, there really isn't, it's not a toxic or negative relationship at all. It's a relationship that, if you look at it, you could settle down, you could be happy, you could be fine, but maybe there's just something missing. Maybe there's just that magic that we want to believe is in all relationships. Maybe that's missing. And then what if you do find that magic, and it's real magic, and what do you do? How do you follow your heart? Do you risk everything for the woman of your dreams, as our tagline says in the poster? And so that's the short answer of what it's about. But obviously, it's inspired by Skyler having a real life experience. Do you want to share that?
Please do.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes.
I actually did have a very intense dream about someone that I didn't know very well, that I went to school with, to high school with. And this was soon after high school. And I don't know, for some reason, I just had this thought, because I dreamed about her like all night long. And I just had this thought of like, what if she was somehow there in the dream too? What if we connected somehow in our sleep, you know, telepathically? Like, I knew it was stupid. So I actually somehow tracked her phone number down. I'm not even sure how. I don't remember anymore. But when I called her, she said, Skyler? I'm sorry, who? So, yeah, she had no idea who I was. But I
or just, she was so afraid because she did have the dream.
Perhaps.
But by you calling her, she was so afraid to admit it.
Oh. She was just so spooked out that the night after she had this
that
dream.
You actually called her.
That's possible.
Are you still meant to be with her? Is this what we're trying to get at? No, I'm sorry. I'm putting things in there.
But how long ago after you had this dream did you end up calling her?
Well, I think I called her like the next day. I found
her. So really soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So she was spooked out, right?
Yeah,
if
right.
she really happened.
So that's
really
what happened.
I'm just
okay.
saying, if you would have given it like a week, let her digest it. And had you,
right.
Have you? Here's a question I've never asked you before.
Yeah.
Have you dreamt about her since?
No.
So it really was that one time?
I think it was just a fluke, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually did end up hanging out with her a little like later that year when I went back up home.
Was she nice to you?
Yeah, she was nice, but there wasn't much of a connection like outside of friends, you know.
The point was that even though this is the real life story is not that romantic.
No.
We made a fictional story that is quite romantic. At least I hope you thought
so.
Oh,
very, very, very much. I was on the edge of my seats going, okay, it seemed, I'm not going to say which way it ends up going because we don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it, but I was very intrigued by each moment, like what's going to happen? What's going to happen? So it was very powerful. And it made me think back on, you know, I think it's always fun to share personal stories. And I will share the disaster of the dream guy. Okay.
Oh,
so
okay.
I actually am with my dream guy now. And actually, Skylar got to meet him because he showed up with me today because I actually hurt my back. And so he's actually being my driver today. Isn't
that's great.
Sweet?
He's sounds
sweet.
Like a dream guy.
He's so sweet. So anyway, he's awesome. But many, many years ago, after having a fairly not so good relationship, there was a guy, I went out with some friends, and there was a guy in the restaurant, and he actually came over to me and said, you know, I've just been kind of watching you. You just look like a cool person. I like your mannerisms. You're so pretty, blah, 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 blah. Would you like to go out with me? And I'm like, I don't know. Okay. So I took his card and I wasn't all that excited about it. But then like the next day I thought, well, that's pretty courageous for a guy to do that. Because it wasn't like a bar scene pickup place. It was like literally he was having his dinner. He came all the way over. I'm like, I got to give this guy a chance, right? So I called him and he goes, oh, yes, I'm so excited. Well, we went out on probably the most perfect date I have ever had. You know, no offense, Christopher. I love you. You're magic. But because I know he's listening.
Yeah.
But he was just fun. You know, he was fun. He was intriguing. He was intelligent. He had a good job. It was like all those things. But regardless of what was good on paper, there was that spark. So anyway, I went out with him that one time. And then I thought, you know, it's just not going to work. I can't tell you why it just wasn't going to work. So kind of went on our lives. And he called me a few more times. And I said, I don't know. I just didn't feel like I wanted to have a relationship then. And anyway, I ended up in another long-term relationship. And then when that ended, one of my friends said, you're so upset. Why don't you call that guy again? This was 6 years later.
Oh, man.
And like 6 years later, all right, why not? I called him. He goes, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you're calling me. So we actually launched into a relationship.
Number two, round two.
It was the shortest, worst experience after the first 6 weeks, which were amazing.
Yeah.
And then the guy had commitment issues. He backed away. He didn't call back. He had been making all these plans that we were going to go camping. Oh, I think I'll go by myself. Oh, it was tragic. So that was a little heartbreaking story where that guy was not that guy at all.
Yeah.
So tell me about your worst dating experiences.
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know about worst or best, but I definitely, you know, in college there was, I did theater and I was a theater major and I was an actor in college. I've retired from acting.
That's not completely true.
Yeah, no, I do over the shoulder work and voice work. Anyway, but no, I was in theater and there was an actress that was in a play that I saw. She was a couple years older than me. And on stage, she was so powerful and so sexy. And I was like, man, she has it all. Like, man, she's so perfect. And a year later, I got to act opposite her in a romantic part. And we got to be, on stage, we got to kiss and all these things. And the first moment we had the rehearsal of the first kiss, we like started kissing each other and we were just passionate. We were like kissing. It was great. And then I started to get to know her.
Uh-oh. And it all went downhill.
And it was just and her process for the way she worked and in theater and all. And it wasn't that she was at all a bad person, but it demystified the romance I had of, you know, staring at her from afar.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I mean that's definitely one. I've been with my wife since college.
Oh, wow.
So it was soon after that I met my wife, and we've been together for ever since. And so I don't have too many stories of dating, you know, as an adult. And high school dating, obviously, is a whole different
ballgame. Yes,
that's a different thing.
Yeah.
But I do remember that, you know, being having someone that seems perfect, and then once you start to get there, you know, not quite what you thought.
Which is, sure. And we'll talk after, Skylar, you tell me one of your bad stories, too. But we could talk about projection, too, because that's such important aspect in relationship building. Do you have one? You got a good story for us?
I've never had like a nightmare date, unfortunately. I kind of wish I had just for the story of it.
You can make one up. No. Well,
that's
no.
true.
He's a writer, so careful. Don't believe what he says. Tell us a true story.
I've been very lucky to have great relationships, and I think that's part of why I thought it was maybe more relatable to people to have the fiance character in this movie be actually pretty good, like a fairly good match for me, but just something's a little missing because I've never been in like a toxic relationship or anything like that. And I'm sure some people could relate to that, but I figured, all right, what I know, which is having been in, I was in a like a 4.5 year relationship where it was very similar to the one in this film where there was nothing inherently wrong. It was just, there was some kind of a connection missing. Yeah.
Sure.
And you know that you could find something better, but at the same time, how do you just dump somebody, you know, did they live with you and all this kind of stuff? Just because, maybe all your friends
are saying such a great gal, right? She's just
right.
awesome. What are you thinking?
Right.
But then you know, deep in your heart, that's just not happening for you.
And that's something that I think we definitely wanted when we were doing the movie. It was, I kind of agreed with Skylar there, which was let's make this a tough choice for the guy. Do you know what I mean? Let's make both these characters very interesting, very, you know, they're engaging and beautiful and romantic, but it's so it's difficult because, I mean, obviously the people that have toxic relationships that need to get out of them, all their friends are yelling at them, like, get out.
Run for the hills.
Oftentimes I have tons of friends that have relationships that maybe I think it's off, but I don't have the insight of what goes on, and so therefore I can't really recommend them what to do because I don't know what's going on in the relationship, and there is nothing toxic on the outside. Mm-hmm. And so I think the fact that I think a lot of times people are stuck between two people or in a relationship that they can't put their finger on what's missing. I think that's, to me, more interesting than the obvious.
Do you think you can be in love with two people at the same time? Truly, deeply in love with two people? Or does one always have the passion?
Unfortunately, I bet you probably could.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think that obviously is a really tough thing. And obviously for me, I've been together with my wife for a very long time. And so therefore, I don't want to put myself in a position where I would fall in love with someone else. You know, I mean, I think that there's partly with relationships on one hand is... you need to be responsible for the places you put yourself in. I mean, if you are happily in a relationship, but then and think that it's ironclad, but then go out to lunch with the same, you know, same person every day, and are flirtatious with them, and you're working with them. I mean.
And you're not wearing clothes when you do
okay, Skylar. But I'm just saying,
I totally agree.
In a platonic relationship, but you continue that relationship and you're intimate in other ways, you're setting yourself up for trouble. I'm not saying, you know, I don't know if it's technically you're in love with two people, but you could really confuse yourself if you put yourself in a situation like that. And so I honestly think that partly... when you're in a relationship, obviously there's magic. I mean, my wife and I, we have magic. We have this love that is deep and great. But also the fact is that, you know, we are committed to each other, and therefore we're not going to put ourselves in positions where, you know, I'd say, honey, I'm going to New York and I'm going to stay 3 nights with this old friend from college that's a girl and she's single, and I just think it's a good friendship thing we should be doing. You know, it's like, what? No, that's not a great idea. So,
you know, that's a very mature attitude you have, because a lot of people...
I'm an old soul.
Okay. Yeah, because it takes a lot of guys years and years, if many of them ever even get to that point of really actually appreciating the importance of sort of the sanctity of your relationship and cherishing it in a way that doesn't put you in potentially dangerous situations where you can activate some sort of sexual spark with someone else, or even an emotional spark. Every relationship has things that aren't perfect. Yeah. Right. And if we just believe that we have to find that perfect somebody in all ways, we're going to be never endingly disappointed.
There was a bad movie that had that lesson in it. It was called Phone Booth with Colin Farrell.
Mm-hmm. I did not see it.
It's a bad movie. Oh. But I said it's a bad movie. But the story was that this guy, I think he's married, but every day he would go to a payphone, which people remember what payphones are, and he would call this girl and have this relationship with her on the phone. But he did it on a payphone, so it wasn't listed on his call records. And he did it to have this emotional connection with her. Mm. And so then what happens is that, there's this whole, like, I don't know, it's a killer, it's a thriller on the loose, and they're going to, like, reprimand him for cheating on his wife, even though he didn't technically cheat on his wife sexually. He cheated on her emotionally. And so it's a bad movie. But what they were going for was something that I think is definitely, universal.
Which turned into the modern chat rooms, basically.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you just tuned in, you are listening to Dr. Deborah and the figment of Coach Kelly, who is here in spirit but not here today. And we are talking with two very special guests from the movie Waking, and we're talking about relationships. And we have with us in studio Skylar and Ben, and they are here sharing their stories about how they made the movie, why they made the movie, and what is so exciting about love. So let's just keep talking about it.
And you can find Waking online on iTunes and Hulu and Google Play, a bunch of places.
And also, please call us because we love your calls. We'll take your questions. We want to know what you think about the possibility of loving two people at once, or would you pick the paradise dream person over the real person? What risks would you take?
No. Sorry. No, go ahead.
I just want to give the phone number out. 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. And the guests have generously bought some postcards of the show, and they are willing to autograph them. So if you call in with a question or a comment, you can get one of those for your collection of famous people. These two will become very, very famous someday. I could feel it in my bones.
Mm-hmm.
Actors become famous, not writer directors.
No, directors become famous, too.
Both do.
Sure.
But don't ask me to name five directors.
See, there you go. My point, exactly.
I'm being honest.
That's my point.
You just don't want to have to sign a postcard.
So here's one of my biggest questions, unless I'm interrupting one of you.
No, go ahead.
So you had mentioned a story about having this sort of amazing, awesome projection onto this woman that you were working with, right? Yeah. But before you got married, so did nothing wrong, all good.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm comfortable
in my stories.
So. Okay, in the world of acting, it seems like it's common for people who play next to one another to often fall in love in real life. Is that common as it seems to me?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you're asking people to, I was talking about just going to lunch with someone every day.
Right.
Imagine if you're going to be, kissing each other every day, and being on set in a very romantic way every day. And the thing is, when you're on a movie set, you're 12 to 15, 16 hour days, and you're filming 20 days up to 80 days, and TV shows, will film, most of the year you're together. So I think it only makes sense that two people that are together that often and staring into each other's eyes and saying romantic things would fall in love. Mm-hmm. It's just a no-brainer to me.
Well, most people meet the person they're with at work. You find
there
this
you
in surveys, and then you have a work environment that's even more charged like this. It certainly makes sense. And going through filming a film with anyone is kind of like going into the trenches in battle, and you come out with such a bond afterwards.
So did you fall in love in making Waking?
No, I mean, it's acting. There's always something you have to find in someone. You have to find something that you love about somebody, which is...
You fell in love with both women? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
And then in real life,
I don't know how you could not fall in love with both of those women. They're absolutely adorable.
I fell in love with them just watching you guys.
I think in the moment, sometimes you are, sure. I mean, it all depends on everything. And every relationship's different. Every working relationship's different. And you have to sort of fall for everyone if you're going to be in that scenario. Unless you just hate them and it's just purely acting. But hopefully it's not.
So have you ever commenced a relationship while working on a film or a project and then had that relationship while you then worked on another film or project where you had to work with another leading lady? How's that for a question? Did that make sense?
Well, in college, I started dating my wife, my girlfriend at the time, and then we both were actors at the time, and then we both had on stage kisses and on screen kisses with other people during that time, and so that was something we dealt with and figured out. But it was, you know, it was all it. We, since we both were actors and we both came from that, and it was college and we were young. I mean, that was something that we dealt with. But since then, my wife is no longer an actor, and I'm no longer an actor, and so. You know,
makes it easier.
It makes it easier.
Yeah.
But if you were asking me if my wife wanted to be an actress still and she was, you know, on stage and on screen and kissing a bunch of guys every day, of course, I think that would make me uncomfortable to an extent. But at the same time, because I'm a director and I know how it works, it's not something I would be necessarily concerned about, but something that we would just have to talk about and figure it out and make sure that we're on the same page. So,
well, it's lovely that you have that kind of open relationship where you both trust
one
another.
Wait, did you say open relationship?
Open with one another in your communication.
How about good communication, not open relationship?
My
really?
Bad.
I thought your wife said, never mind.
My bad. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we did deal with that briefly when we were in college and just out of college. And and I remember it being a little confusing, but it was something that we just had to talk about and we had to figure it out.
I think there's people who have different tolerance levels for that also. And for instance, my daughter's father, we were married for a very brief time, many, many years ago. He was an actor before we went that route. And that was like the biggest crossroad in our relationship, as I basically said, I am not going to continue this relationship if you're going to continue acting. He's a very handsome guy and would certainly, if he were successful, would get those parts. And I just knew I did not have the maturity or the tolerance or the level of trust.
Well, and the thing is and to be honest, I don't know how far it would have to, once I'd be in that situation, I'd have to honestly be able to see how comfortable I am or would be. I'm all messed up in tenses right now. In the past, the things that my wife and I did as actors was very innocent, simple things, right? On stage, it was simple, just kisses and here and there. You know, there was never a love scene that was, you know, had to be done by either one of us or nudity or anything like that. And therefore, it was pretty
tame.
It was pretty tame and easy for us to digest. Mm-hmm. But if there was, you know, if I was, you know, the you know, the husband of you know, name an actress right now who's been on TV,
Michelle Pfeiffer,
or any of the girls on Girls, you know, the HBO show Girls, or any of these people, you know, and seen all the different things that they're doing on screen. I mean, that'd be a tough thing to do.
I know a lot of actors that actually won't watch their partners.
Of course. Why would you? That's bizarre.
Sadomasochistic.
Acting is a weird thing. Can we just kind of say it?
Super weird.
Acting is very strange. And, playing make-believe is very strange. And so, but the truth is, and I know you've probably heard this 100 times, is that what you see on the screen with the music added, with the color corrected, with the scene edited together, it makes it seem like it's, you know, you're watching something that is magical and romantic. When you're filming something in the moment, it's very technical. The cameras are there. There's a boom mic operator. And it's not as romantic as it ends up being for any of these scenes. I'm talking love scenes or holding hands or any of this. It's very technical. And it's not that romantic on the day.
I remember a time when one of my redirects was, okay, say it again and mean it. And then, you know, okay, maybe I meant it more that time, and then that makes it in the movie, and you look at it and you're like, oh my God, he really means it. Well,
not really.
It's a technical thing.
It's pretend.
Yeah. Well, hey, I've been a relationship therapist on a number of reality shows, and you know, so many of them, they're not even as spontaneous as when they make you think. You know, they're always asking me, well, are you willing to say this? Are you willing to say that? I'm like, no, not really. I'm not willing to say that. You know? And so I've often not actually gotten jobs for some of those just because I won't do anything that threatens my professional license or my professional presentation, but I would always say after coming home and doing one of those, if it was a 3-day shoot or whatever, this is not glamorous. There's nothing glamorous about TV. You know, you sit in a green room for half the time, or you sit in makeup, and it's, you know, it can be a tough job, I would say, for sure.
Yeah, and like you said, acting is so weird. I mean, if any actor, you know, gets mad at their partner for not being comfortable with them doing romantic scenes, like, really, you know, the acting is what's weird. Not, you know, you shouldn't expect anybody to be cool with it. It almost takes another actor, I think, to understand it. And probably somebody who's been doing it a while. Like, I might be a little worried to try to date somebody who was, say, 20 and just getting into acting, who was doing all these romantic scenes, because they probably are going to start confusing all these feelings. But if they've been doing it for 10 years and there's been all these different guys they've acted with, I think you can kind of compartmentalize it a little better.
I mean, statistically, in Hollywood, in the celebrity world, there are so few couples that actually stand the test of time if both of them or one of them is in the field. I mean, I'm always impressed with people like Paul Newman, right? Hasn't he been with his wife for 40 years or something? I mean, they must have a really, really strong relationship, because he's certainly been the leading romantic guy in so many
films. I think when you're dealing with people that are super famous, I mean, the relationship is one part of their life, and I think that we're trying to make normal, but the fact is that none of their life is normal, so then why would the relationship be normal as well? Do you know what I mean?
Like,
I mean, none of the, when you're talking about the uber famous people, not, you know, a character actor here or there, but the people that, you know, can't go down to the mall without everyone staring at them, how do you expect them to do
a normal
anything?
Relationship.
How do you expect them to have a normal relationship? I don't think that really has to do with, to me, it has less to do with Hollywood, and it has more to do with just fame. If you take someone that's famous for you know, a politician or whatever else, I mean, just have them trying to have a normal life is, I think, very, very difficult. I don't wish fame upon anyone.
And, you know, I think it can even extend beyond fame to just the personality type that wants to pursue artistic things. I mean, the type of people who don't want to be in a 9-to-5 job every day because that sounds too constraining and not enough freedom and just too traditional or something. And then you have these people that are, they're attracted to the arts, and then you expect their relationship is going to be super traditional and they're going to be married to the same person for 50 years. You know, maybe not.
I'm going to step in there and disagree with you. I mean, just because I think that the people that are interested in the arts can be so diverse. I think you can have actors and writers and directors that are very organized and traditional thinking in the sense of how they their brain operates, and then you have others that are just off the wall, you know, crazy with, you know, I'll never be labeled and all this stuff. And I mean, that was one of the big thing for me in college when I met other actors in theater, and you had some people that they were off stage versus on stage. They were the same. They were always big and huge and crazy. And then you had these other people that were like, when you talk to them, they're just very quiet like this. But then on stage, they're like, ta-da, I'm huge. It's my outlet. And so, I don't know. I understand kind of what you're saying, but I think at the same time, the fact that I think the arts actually is a very larger, bigger diversity than most people think.
Sure. But if you were to take, like, you know, a teacher versus an actor, you might have a slightly larger percentage of the actors that are a little, have a little more trouble with a traditional lifestyle than
maybe
teachers
Maybe a teacher. Teacher's pretty creative.
I guess. I'm just trying to think
job.
Of.
Give me another job.
Another job. Accountant.
Yeah, accountant. Okay. I think we're too tangential right now.
Moving along here. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Dr. Deborah, and we have two fabulous guests in studio today, Skylar and Ben. Ben, the director of the movie Waking, and Skylar, the lead actor as well as the writer. And we're going all over the map here with relationships and loyalty and all that kind of stuff. But I really want you to call. Please call 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. We've got some awesome postcards of the movie, and either or both will be happy to sign them for you.
I know I've said I'll sign them. Ben has been a little bit sketchy
Ben,
on whether
on.
He'll sign.
Put it on the line there.
If it's a good question, if someone calls in with a good question, sure.
It'll depend on the quality of the question.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, I have a good question.
Okay.
So when you're in a relationship with somebody who you love, you are in one. Are you currently in one?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Somebody from the movie?
No.
No. Okay. All right. I won't get too personal unless you would like to share. So somebody outside of the field?
No, in the field.
On the field. Okay. Yeah. So let's say you're in a romantic relationship and you have a dream about another person, right? But your relationship is solid and you love this. But it's, let's say it's a very salaciously sexual dream.
Okay.
Do you tell your partner about it or not?
No.
No.
Would you tell your wife about that?
No, would you tell your partner about every dream you have? No, I mean, I think that is not only sexual. I don't think there's all sorts of dreams I don't want to share, and there's lots of dreams I do want to share. But yeah, that's interesting.
And the ones you don't want to share, it's because you think it would threaten your partner, make them feel uncomfortable, they wouldn't understand it.
I don't know. At this point in my relationship, it's not about threatening. It's just about just picking and choosing the what makes sense to share. I mean, the thing is, I would if I felt like something was threatening me, then that's something that I need to talk about, right? Like
if it's really meaningful in the dream.
Something's threatening me, and I'm like having thoughts about marriage and something, then that's something I need to talk about with my wife. I mean, we need to figure something out. But if the brain does its brain thing and has a dream about, you know, if I have a dream
about
Oprah or Rachel McAdams or Ryan Gosling, or Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling and myself, and that's the dream that I have. Wait, I've told you about this dream.
I just know you like Ryan Gosling a lot.
I love both of them.
Yeah.
I'd say flip a coin. I'm okay. But in all seriousness, if the brain does what the brain does, and in my subconscious dream, I'm dreaming about something, and I wake up and I realize it was a dream, it's like, you know, what's the point, I guess, you know.
Right, it would serve no purpose.
But if I'm, you know, every night, you know, going off and writing and looking up pictures and thinking about this one person that is harming my relationship, then, you know, that's a problem I have.
Exactly.
It's interesting because, you know, as a psychologist, we do a lot of studies about the unconscious and dreams, et cetera.
Yeah, so wait, you know the answer. Why are you asking us? Do we get it wrong or right?
I don't actually know how you would answer it, but I know that with people who are very understanding about dreams in terms of being the window to the unconscious and understanding what that means, that it is our way of processing certain conflicts and difficulties, et cetera, then from that perspective, it's not necessarily threatening to a partner to hear about the dream if they understand it. Like, I love it when Christopher, he doesn't seem to remember his dreams as well as I do, and I'm like, tell me every detail, I want to hear, because that wouldn't threaten me. But I know that some of my dreams, if I shared every detail because I remember them and they're a very, very vivid dreamer, probably would be threatening to the average person because they don't necessarily understand that that's not threatening.
No, I totally get what you're saying. I don't know. Maybe I think that dreams are totally our way of us, like you said, processing something. But I think, you know, I think there's a lot of times you have to wake up and go, okay, this is what I actually dreamed about. Mm-hmm. Where is that coming from? What is the connection there? And I think if you just said the dream, this is what happened in the dream, just straight away, that might be, I don't know about threatening, but it might be just like, wait, you. Why are you sharing that with me? It's just A plus B. It's very simple. But if you actually took your time and realized what you think the dream meant,
and then shared it,
then that's something worth sharing.
Interesting conversation.
It comes to why are you sharing it? Like, if someone you're in a relationship with came up to you and was like, boy, there was this person at the mall that I just found so attractive and I was just staring at them. Like, you'd be like, why are you telling me? Like, are you trying to cause a problem?
Yeah, I think there's a huge thing about communication, and especially when I've been married for I don't know how long, but the fact is that when I'm sharing something with my wife, it's not that I want to put a censor on anything. I want to be unfiltered, but at the same time, we got two kids. I'm working, she's working, we got a lot of stuff to do. If I want to share something, I should be thinking, what am I trying to gain from here?
What
am I helping with?
Yes.
Is it something that we have to work out, or is it something that we don't have to work out?
Yes,
you know? Sir. And so that's just, for me, it's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's, you know, sort of the difference between privacy versus secrecy. I think when we're in secrecy, we're in trouble.
Oh my gosh.
But keeping some things private, sometimes some things just better left unsaid because they have no meaning.
My brother had a great quote about what is a surprise versus a secret. Hmm. We were filming something with some kids, and they were you know, it's. I mean, I don't know the quote. I'm going to have to look up the quote. Let's come back to that.
You're going to look it up, and you're going to email it to me, and then on the next show, when we have time, I'm going to let our listeners know it, unless you can find it within 4 seconds or less. Just kidding. How's that for pressure? You were the one who were you were tweeting right before we started.
Did he text it to you or
I'm
something?
I'm trying to get people to call. No, we can move on.
What's interesting, too, is that we did want to talk about projection and how powerful that is at the beginning in relationships, and how much projection either hurts us or helps us. So a positive projection onto somebody is usually what draws us to be attracted to them, right? You see somebody and you say, oh, absolutely, that person I'm attracted to because they look like more than just being physically attracted, but it looks like a nice person or it looks like a kind-hearted person, something like that. And often, though, people get so caught up with projection that they're not actually looking for reality. They're not really looking in front of them. And then they see later on down the line, you're not who I thought you were. They get so disappointed. Have you ever had that kind of experience before, either projecting so much that wasn't true about someone else or having that done to you?
Interesting. I'm trying to think if I've had that done, but it's certainly a very interesting topic. I think that, there's kind of a balance you have to walk early on in a relationship. Like, it's important, I think, to project a lot of good things onto someone, to assume the best in somebody, because how are you ever going to get in a relationship if you start off cynical, you know? And
sure.
Then slowly, you do have to actually get to know the real person. I guess you just hope that it's somewhere near what you originally projected.
I don't know. I think there's something great about low expectations.
Yeah.
Low expectations. Yeah.
It's something that my wife and I joke about. We call our life our little life. We say, you know, our little life, and we you get back from a vacation, you're like, no one stole our car, no one stole our TV. Great.
Nice.
That's low expectations. But I mean, in all seriousness, it's not that. I do think there's something. I don't know. I feel. I don't know if I'm how zen I actually am, but I definitely try to be as even keel as I can. I mean, at all times with everything. When I have great news with work or with family or with friends, or I have sad news, I try to be as even keel as I can. And so, you know, I expectations are they're sometimes a lot of trouble, even the great ones, as we know.
Yes, absolutely. And they can be so disappointing, too, when our expectations are too high, because especially if they're not really based on reality.
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever had the experience, though, where somebody really presented a pretty false impression of who they are? Like, just flat out lied to at the beginning, just where somebody just shows up and says that they're something that they're just not at all. Not necessarily consciously, but just such low self-awareness. I mean, I find that part of what makes relationships healthy and work long-term are people have enough self-awareness to know to be able to be accountable for things that they say, you know what, I'm asking for honesty in you. And quite frankly, I wasn't just honest then. Let me be more honest. You know, that would be somebody who's self-aware versus somebody who comes in and says, yes, I'm the kindest, sweetest, gentlest person on the planet. And you go, no, you're not. No, you don't do anything nice or anything kind.
I mean, I deal with that a lot with friends in the film business.
Okay.
I don't know if this it's okay to talk about non-relationships, but I think it's something that people said that artists are a mixture of having a large ego and complete insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that that's pretty brilliant, is that you have these two voices over your shoulder that saying, you're good enough and your vision for this, your artistry is great. And then the other voice is saying, you are so bad and and you're never going to be good enough and all these people are better than you. And so for me, it's listening to those two voices. And oftentimes I'll run into someone who has all the confidence in the world that I see as just arrogance. It's just so much. And it's like, there's no humility there. And it could be the facts of what they're saying could be true, but just the way they're doing it is just so unattractive to me. And it's just right away. And whereas I think oftentimes my struggle is sometimes coming underselling myself and talking about, you know, because I'm trying to be so even keel, I'll forget to say how proud I am of my work or, you know, the good things that are going on. And so I'll just kind of undersell it and just say, yeah, you know, doing the best I can and, you know, God willing, you know, just kicking the can down the road.
I've had to tell you sometimes.
I know.
You make really great work, Ben. You should be very proud of it.
This is all here for me. You brought me here, didn't you? I had Skylar tell me, and I've had other people tell me, you know what, Ben, it's okay to be proud. It's okay to be confident. And so I'm working on it. I think I can be more confident. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it.
We're going to do it.
You do it. And there's something entirely different about arrogance, somebody believing that they're better than somebody else versus being confident and liking who you are and liking what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so that's, I think the way I put it is that confidence is attractive. Arrogance is unattractive. Humility is attractive. Self-doubt is unattractive. You know, there's certain ways you can kind of put it. And so...
It's interesting. Yeah, you can tie it into relationships, too, as far as where you find confidence. And, you know, even let's say you've been in 6, 7, 8 failed relationships. You know that you have to find a confidence to go for another one, even though it's almost like the odds are kind of against everybody. If you look around at your friends and it's like most relationships don't go forever. But in order to try, you have to sort of put the blinders on and find that confidence.
So is there a quality that you've ever presented to somebody that you really haven't developed? In other words, like said, I am confident when you're really not at all, or said that, you know, you're a great listener when you talk over everybody, or...
Well, you know what? Okay, so I forgot about this. My wife and I, when we first started dating in college, we dated for about 6 months, and then she traveled abroad to study in Italy for a year, for a full year after we'd only been dating 6, 7 months. So when we first started dating, she told me that, we'll probably just date for 6, 7 months and then we'll break up because she's going to Europe. And I said, no. I said, I've always been this way. I'm like, I'm a one woman man type of guy. And I'm like, this is like, if we're in a relationship, we're in it for the long haul until it just doesn't work. And so I told her that. I said, no, like when you go to Europe, we're still together and that's what we'll try to do. And talking about confidence, like, why did I have that confidence that we were going to, you know, a couple of 20-year-old kids that are going to be able to make it, you know, when she's all the way in Europe, and this is before cell phones and FaceTime. And
we have a caller.
And we have a caller.
We have a caller.
But obviously, everyone knows the end of the story because we're still together.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, hello. You're on live with Dr. Debra and our two great guests here. How can I help you?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi, long time, first time. I'm also a big fan of your guests there. Guys, it's Hunter Callahan from SciFiCaleb.com. Great to hear you on the air.
Thanks for calling.
Do you have a question?
I was wondering I was wondering if I might be able to field a question real quick with Ben Shelton about a project called Impress Me.
Of course.
Ben, you work with a guy on that show named Ross Marquand. Now, as you can imagine, he's been getting a whole lot of heat lately over at sci-fi.blogspot.com. Does he ever do any impressions of people from science fiction or fantasy films, like maybe Liam Neeson and Crawl?
This show is, we're trying to talk about relationships. Do you have a relationship question you have to ask?
Oh, I've got a great relationship question for both of you guys. Skylar's there too, right? Skylar, you're being very quiet right now.
Yeah, hi, I'm here.
Oh, I thought you might be in the bathroom.
What can we do for you?
How did you guys, let's forget about the science fiction stuff, let's talk relationships. How did you guys go about building your relationship on set? Was it mostly built on set? Did you bond a lot before getting to set with each other? Let's hear about that, please.
Well, I think what was great about working with on this film, Waking, is that Skylar wrote this script, and he's the lead actor. And when I read the script, I thought, this is something that I would have written, like right away. I thought that. And so I told Skylar, I said, like, this is right up my alley, and I had notes for him on what to do. But right away, Skylar and I bonded, you know, on the first meeting about how we both, our vision for the movie together. And so then, once we started filming, he kind of took off his writing hat and producing that and really focused on acting, and I got to be kind of the director, and we got to tweak things along the way, and it went great. And since then, we've worked on a couple more projects together. So
nice.
it's been a great working relationship from from the first time we met.
It's true, absolutely. Oh, we should plug That's Impress beautiful. Me, which is going to be on TV.
I do have another TV show, another project. It's a TV show called Impress Me that is going to be premiering tomorrow night, Wednesday night, on Pop. Pop is the new channel that used to be the TV Guide Network. And you can find the channel by going to poptv.com. There's a channel finder at the bottom of that website. But it's a show called Impress Me, and it's actually a wonderful little tale about two celebrity impressionists who want to quit doing impressions to become serious dramatic actors. So they're at the crux of what they're gifted at, what they're talented at, and what they really want to do. And how do you leave one thing for something that is your passion? Which is actually very similar to Waking.
It is kind of, huh?
It's something that, what do you, it's one thing that is on paper, it's working for you, and then this other dream. And so I think, to me, that's, if you have a character in crisis, that's a good show. And mm-hmm. and it stars Ross Marquand, who plays Aaron on The Walking Dead, and it stars Jim Meskimen, who is on Parks and Recreation. And it's on at 10:30 at night.
Wonderful. And Hunter, thank you for your call. We're going to have to wrap up in a few minutes. So thank you so much.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
You guys are great. I'm going to watch late.
Okay.
He went through a tunnel there or something.
There we go. So we are running out of time, sad to say, but true. So I want to give you guys a little bit of opportunity to promote a little bit more. Tell everybody where they can find Waking Now. I know it's on Hulu Plus, Hulu, Netflix.
And it's not on Netflix.
No, okay.
But yeah, it's on Hulu, so you can watch it for free there. If you have Hulu Plus, then there's no commercials.
It's on Amazon Instant Video.
Yes, Amazon, iTunes, Google Play.
But if you go to WakingMovie.com, the links are there for everything.
Yes.
No?
Yes, they are. Absolutely.
WakingMovie.com.
Yeah.
Well, it's been such a treat to have both of you here today. I'm so glad that you were able to show up. I feel honored that I would have two celebrities in here with me.
Are we celebrities?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, everyone's a celebrity in L.A. It's fine.
There's your confidence. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, a wonderful director, a wonderful writer, a wonderful actor.
Thank you.
You guys are really awesome. I'm really glad that you were willing to take the time and come and share your stories with our listeners and relationships. Any little...
Where can people find you and tweet at you and stuff like that?
You can find me on Twitter. It's Skylar Caleb, or Facebook also, Skylar Caleb. And you are...
And if people ask you questions, will you answer them?
No. I'll have my people do that.
Okay.
I'm famous. We just decided. We're celebrities.
Well, I will personally answer questions.
All right, fine. I'll answer questions, too. If you're going to do it, I'll do it.
I'm at Ben Shelton Films on Twitter, at Ben Shelton Films. And my website is sheltonfilms.com.
Wonderful. And, of course, you can find out more about me at drdebraonline.com, drdebraonline.com. And... next week, not really sure what we're going to talk about. It's going to be a surprise, and it'll be a good one. But
it's going to be great.
I'm
looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being here again.
Is this a weekly thing?
Yeah, you didn't know we're signing up for this every week?
I felt like I got a lot off my chest.
Oh, good.
Wonderful, wonderful. And please, everybody say some positive things for Kelly, because she's going through a rough time, because her really good friend lost her brother. So, young guy. And so... good thoughts for her so that she comes back and she's okay next week. All right. Love you all. Thank you so much for listening. Have an awesome week. And if you missed today's show or you want to hear it again, you can download it. And please like us on Facebook. Okay. Thank you. Guys, say goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Follow your heart.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.